The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hello, world. I hope everybody's doing well. Welcome to the Orange is the New Black podcast with my man, Ace Boogie with New Stripe City. Currently on this one, I'm going to be flying solo because, believe it or not, we are still working. I hope everybody's staying safe, keeping your hands clean, and washing your butt as well. Moving forward with everything, I guess the first thing I want to do is just send out a big shout out to my man Dre Kirkpatrick, who the Bengals recently released probably about 2 or 3 days from the time that you're hearing this recording. For you all that don't know, Dre Kirkpatrick has always shown me a lot of love. It's someone that I really, really like a lot. I knew that it never made sense with Trey Waynes and Dre Kirkpatrick on the field at the same time. They both play left outside corner. Saw no video or anything like that that would suggest that Trey Waynes would go on the inside. They signed Mackenzie Alexander to go in the slot corner in the offseason. The Bengals got Winston Rose. They also just recently re-signed Greg Maben for more added depth in the cornerback room. But Dre Kirkpatrick, just going over the numbers, the Bengals take a 2.8 dead cap hit that Dre still gets. They save over 8.2 in cap relief. So currently right now, as it stands, April 1st, April 3rd of this year, at the time of this recording, the Bengals have $13 million in cap, But once the contracts and all of the evaluations and everything go into the free agent signings of Reader, Trey Waynes, and the other free agents, it puts Bengals actually in a negative cap space because they have that currently totaling up that has a cap hit of $14 million. But releasing Dre Kirkpatrick at this time gives them more cap relief. I'm told inside the building that there was many discussions, and people asked me why was it so late, because there were many discussions where Lou Anarumo and some of the staff members thought that they could maybe possibly make it work. Me personally, just knowing Dre, talking to Dre, I was told on several different instances that Mike Brown has told Dre that he was going to stay. So there are a lot of people that always said that, you know, they thought that Andy Dalton was done unfairly and all these different things. Andy Dalton's situation was he received over $100 million from the Bengals. He's currently actively on the Bengals roster, and he's currently actively still going to get $17 million, whether he plays for the Bengals or not. Hopefully not. The Bengals benched him on his birthday. He played 9 years where he probably shouldn't have played. all of those years, and he had some ups and he had some downs. I like to think that he had more ups and downs. He played really, really bad in the time in the 2019 season, and he was benched, and it was at a time where the writing was on the wall. He had just thrown a 5-pick game. It just was time, right? The difference, I think, with this Drake Kirkpatrick thing is just, you know, and a lot of people will notice that on Twitter, I did break this first. So that was a thing, too, that, you know, because I have a relationship with Drake Kirkpatrick, I felt as though it was really, really important that he said, you know, he tells everybody when he wanted, you know, everyone to know it. But then me and him had a discussion, and it was, he made it clear that that didn't really matter. And then shortly after, I think he posted on Instagram anyway. But for those asking, they were like, well, Zim, you tell me that he was going to stay on the roster and everything. That was everything that was told to him. So I was just conveying the message that the Bengals had told him. They told him repeatedly, week after week, no, 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 no. So to me, when we're talking about what's right or what's wrong with these players, that's something that I think if you can't stand on your word and you can't be honorable in that regard, you know, then that to me is more unjust than what happened to Andy Dalton being benched. But that's my opinion. That's a conversation that isn't going to be talked about. And that's one thing that I think is really, really wrong about today's society today. It's like this thing where people go in an uproar about certain things, but, you know, we pick and choose what we want to be in an uproar about. And I'm not saying that everybody needs to be in an uproar about Drake Kirkpatrick, but he was told repeatedly that he was going to stay on the roster, and then they just released him, which had to be done. But the way that they played it, I just didn't like that. I didn't agree with that. I don't think he's really sour over it. There's many reports that are just suggesting that he's going to be highly, highly sought after. I do think that it's so late in the game. Most teams are going into, we're 3 weeks away from the draft, that most teams have their roster set. And if they don't have their roster set, they have their specific plan in place that they're going into the draft, and they're doing their last second evaluations right now before they go into the draft. So putting Dre out there at this moment in time, they could have released him way earlier. They could have released him when they first signed Trey Waynes. And I just think that probably might get him another $1 million. So we're talking about what's right or what's wrong. To me, to release him this late in free agency is not right. But, you know, can't cry over spilled milk. And I think in the time to come, coming up, I think because I'm one of the few, I think, that believe in Drake Kirkpatrick a little bit, is that he'll be able to show on another team that he'll do really well. And then the people that come and that are Bengals fans that always cry over, oh, well, they don't retain the right people and all this stuff. When you start seeing them have success, then it'll be an outcry about, well, we didn't coach them up right and we let these guys go. But currently, right now, as it stands, 60% of fans are just like, yep, glad we moved on from Drake Kirkpatrick. And I get it. You know, like the bad plays stand out more than the good. But that's not what I'm here for. So I'm just giving a special shout out to my man Dre. I think it's really, really important that you understand that there are players that care a lot about Cincy. There's a lot of players that just want to get paid. He was one of the players when they were losing this past year. Super passionate. Him, Tyler Boyd, and Joe Mixon are my top three guys that were super passionate even when they were losing. And it was never, ever his suggestion to go on IR, which also is another bad thing too, because with the corona outbreak and these different things going on, teams don't really get a good evaluation of guys and they don't know how injured he currently is. And I'm here to say he's 100% healthy. Moving on to that. Greg Maben was re-signed previously this past week as well, to kind of bolster that up, the room as well, like I said. So we got that going in our favor. Trey Waynes, I think, now is very, very, it's pretty much like they're handing him the job, which I don't have a problem with. I think you lose a little bit in coverage. So people tell me, is this an upgrade? I think when it was Drake Kirkpatrick and Trey Waynes and William Jackson, I fell in love with the idea of depth. Good teams go and get depth. A lot of people are really, really harboring on the fact that the Denver Broncos went and signed Melvin Gordon and they already have Philip Lindsay. I think by getting more talent in the event of an injury, which we know is going to happen, anybody knows injuries, it will be the Cincinnati Bengals fan base. So with injuries always been a problem or always been a conversation, I just fell in love with this idea that you have depth. So now when you go into the draft In order to keep that same depth or get developed talent, you now need to target a cornerback, which eliminates the BPA. So a proven veteran corner, 29, 30 years old, versus a guy that you don't really know and is just a prospect from the cornerback position that you're not drafting in the top of the the top of the draft, is something that you can't bank on. Although I do love the corners in this draft coming up. So I think one of the things that we'll probably start looking at too is like, you know, what are the positions that we're going to be looking at this 33, the number 33 pick? Will the Bengals trade out of that pick? Which I do believe they will. But for me, I just love this idea. If someone gets injured, you want to make sure that you got another player that there is no drop off in talent. Currently, right now, the wide receiver depth is pretty good. But if you're thinking long term, then you need to be thinking in the future coming up in this upcoming season. With John Ross not being healthy for the most of his tenure, with AJ Green being on a franchise tag that he's not happy about. Also with the John Ross thing, they didn't pick up his fifth year option. So say he does ball out, a team is going to be willing to outbid the Bengals for sure. I think that works out good for the Bengals though, because they could put a second round tender on him. They could put a first round tender on him, but what would happen is they would end up having to pay that dollar amount, like based on that, with the fifth that was tied with the fifth year option. So I don't think that's an option, but I do think the Bengals stay in the game another high pick once he is gone after the upcoming season. But when you look in that room, you're banking on the health of Auden Tate, a seventh round draft pick. So with that said, I think from a BPA standpoint, you'd be looking at someone like a Denzel Mims that I could see absolutely maybe falling there. I don't see T. Higgins falling right there. There's some other guys. Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State has been linked to us a couple of different times as well. And then LaVisca Chenault from Colorado. Those are some guys that'll be sitting right there. And Jalen Reagor too. I'm seeing things where he's falling even further. But from a cornerback position, I think there are going to be some guys that didn't perform that well at the combine, like a Cameron Dantzler, A.J. Terrell from Clemson. There's also going to be a guy, Trayvon Diggs from Alabama, Bryce Hall from Virginia. These are some guys, Jalen Johnson, that could be in that 33 spot. Damon Arnett from Ohio State, as you guys know. These are guys that could be there. But if the Bengals trade out of that spot, obtain another third-round pick, move back like eight spots or so, there are guys that you all want, like a Troy Dye. My mind escaped me. Troy Dye, Bond, these guys like that could still be there. So that's something to really, really take notice of. The one thing that I think that might end up happening because of the lack of movement with the offensive line and free agency, I think, and I like this idea, I think supporting and giving Joe Burrow the best resources possible, you'd be looking at an offensive tackle or someone like that that probably maybe falls to them. I don't see Josh Jones from Houston falling to them, but that's a guy I could see the Bengals absolutely moving up to. Natan Mute, because of his combine and you factor in the injury, he could be like an early second round pick, which is crazy because before this, he was looking even further down. You're also looking at a guy like Tyler Biadasz from Wisconsin, Solomon Kinley from Georgia. These are guys that I think day one could take the spot of Michael Jordan at the left guard position or compete at the right guard position as well. But for me, best BPA at that spot will be Antoine Winfield Jr., guys like Xavier McKinley. There's Austin Jackson, the tackle from USC. There's a lot of different guys that I think after the end of night one, the Bengals, their phone is going to be ringing off the hook. And those are guys that are going to be sitting right there that the Bengals could absolutely take a look at. On the defensive side, there have been some really, really good reports from a lot of different reporters all over the country. There have also been some really good statements from guys like Sam Hubbard and Jesse Bates III. Sam Hubbard recently said, "I knew we were going to go get some guys just from what I've been told, and I had no reason to think that we weren't telling the truth. I think they really showed us that they're trying to win games and bring in a winning culture that followed up the words of these actions and made some big moves. It's exactly what we needed to improve on the defensive side of the ball, and we got it. It's time to go to work and put it on display. I'm just really excited. It's crazy times. So right now, I'm preparing as hard as I can for it to come around. I think it's going to be a while, but I'll continue like we were on track to start the season regularly. That's from Sam Hubbard. Jesse Bates just went on to say that he had some really good conversations with Coach Lou. He said he talked to him for about 20 minutes, talked about bringing the new guys in. He also said, and I quote, "You heard around the league, the Bengals don't reach out to players in free agency and spend a lot of money because that's always been their philosophy. They're always been comfortable with some of the guys in the locker room. I think now it kind of gives the players an eye opener. If they're not going to keep a lot of guys around, if they're not going to get the job done, whether that's not getting a contract extension, if that's not playing first year, nobody's safe. I think that puts a little bit of fire in a lot of people and open their eyes a little bit, at least to the guys that have been here for a while." So that's Jesse Bates saying that. I think from a defensive standpoint, I think that they feel like they've done a lot. Just to make sure that you all have been following us and you understand, the Bengals have made moves to pretty much say that they're opening, projecting on the opening day of the regular season with five new starters. As DJ Reader, a Pro Bowl focused football Pro Bowler in the first stretch of the season and throughout the most of the season as well. They also obtained the Ravens middle linebacker Josh Bynes. They also obtained the Vikings cornerback Trey Waynes, Saints safety Von Bell, and then Mackenzie Alexander, who didn't miss a tackle on 142 run plays and didn't commit a penalty. So those are five new starters on defense, which leads me to believe that they'll go all the way offense on that number 33 pick. If they even trade out of it, I think you then still see offense as the first pick. But to me, making Joe Burrow comfortable as possible is the goal. The next thing that I wanted to talk about is, with that being said, there have been writers that have now ranked the defense at a very, very high level as a result of that, because of the progression at the end of the season combined with these new moves that are made. So I'm really, really excited about that. The last topic that I wanted to talk about too right now is currently is this. We're very hopeful. We're very optimistic that the season starts on time. One of the conversations I had with a doctor and then just in my thought process is this. Even if the COVID-19 virus is fully removed and we don't feel like that's a big problem for the United States moving forward, even if we get to July, August, and close to training camp and everything, there is no way that I can see in my mind that you don't have a situation where you have to like bubble guys in into one state or one city, or we're still having these situations where it's going to be an empty stadium. And I really don't like that, because I think from just a viewing standpoint, it's going to feel like more of a scrimmage. I can't feel like, without the crowd noise, without all these different things, I just can't imagine what that would be like. But the biggest thing to me is that, say I'm traveling. Right now, currently at press time, April 3rd, the only state that doesn't have any cases currently of deaths is that I'm seeing is Wisconsin, because of all the rural areas and I'm not a scientist. But let's say you limited the players' travel to a couple different states. I just feel like the stands and the players and everything like that, I just don't think will ever be full. And throughout the year, you couldn't travel, let's say, from Cincinnati all the way to like California and risk somebody being, getting the virus. And for that, I just think that you will have to bubble these guys in and tell them they can't travel for a whole calendar year, because this is the situation I could see, is that we're going to go to a game on Sunday. Yeah, the COVID-19 is not as much of a threat as right now, but later on, say you're traveling and Joe Burrow or anyone, name anybody, anybody that starts or anybody on the bench is now tested positive for the coronavirus. Now coming into the game, the opposition has a fully healthy roster, maybe because no one contracted the virus in that time frame. And now I got to go up against them without without my full deck of cards, just based on the virus, not injury. To me, that's an unfair advantage, and I just don't see the Bengals or any team being able to match that or being able to. I just don't see a way that that can ensure that people don't get hurt or not hurt, but don't have the virus in that time frame. And it's an unfair advantage. So unless they're planning to put players, NBA, NFL, all in one city, all in one state, then I just don't know how they're going to contain this thing, which leads me to believe that I can't possibly see the season starting on time unless the virus is 100% removed and that's no longer a threat, or they develop a vaccine in that time frame, which seems a very, very short notice. And even still, if someone did get the disease, there still has to be a time period where they have to get all the symptoms and everything clear and everything like that before they can get back around other players. Tell me what you think. Hit us up on Twitter. My name is Zim Hude on Twitter. My partner is Ace Boogie, and his name is New Stripe City on Twitter. That's New Stripe City on Twitter. You can also check us out on Instagram. Check out Ace's YouTube. I'm out. Hude.